Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And as you make your way there, I want to share about an activity that we had here just a few months after I started. I started here as an interim in April of 2017. And just a few months later, in June, I believe it was, somebody had the idea, and I'm not exactly sure who it was. Maybe it was Joe. I don't know. Somebody had an idea. We need to have some sort of a game night here at the church. They wanted to have a Friday night game night where people could bring whatever games they wanted to play, and then they could we could just have a fellowship time. As soon as we get the picture on this screen, we have for Edna. Now, this is one of those people that some of you know who Edna is, some of you don't. For those that do know Edna, Edna was a member of this church, a part of the church board, and she was just a delight. She was witty, she was sassy, she was very fun, and very surprising in a lot of ways. So when we had this game night that we wanted to have on a Friday night in June, not too long after I started here, the game that Edna wanted to play was Jenga. Now raise your hand if you've played Jenga before. It's a pretty popular game. A lot of people have played Jenga. She wanted to play Jenga, and so Lori and I are like, well, we'll play Jenga with you. Now, for those that never met her, like I said, she was an absolute treasure. And when we sat down to play this game of Jenga, I'm not sure she knew what she was in for. Now, for those that have played the game of Jenga before, you know that there are certain Jenga wood pieces that are really easy to move and other parts that are not easy to move. There are some pieces that can be moved with just the slightest of tap because they're not, you know, they don't have the weight of the tower necessarily resting on it. So just a little tap and that piece can move, whereas some of the other pieces are load-bearing, weight-bearing pieces in that tower. You try to move that piece and that tower is going to twist, it's going to turn and eventually tip right over. Now, when it was dear sweet Edna's turn, she went first, you know, age before, you know, whatever. So she got to go first, and she carefully selected a nice little safe piece somewhere towards the middle. And she took her time, you know, as calmly and as slowly and as strategically as she could. With a steady hand, she took out that piece, and it probably took about 20 seconds for her to get the piece, get it out of there. And then Lori took her turn. And then it was my turn. And let's just say that my piece selection and my piece removal strategy was very different. Now, if you've known me for any length of time, you know that there are lots of things that I do to try to keep things interesting. And there are things that I impulsively do just for the reaction it's going to get when I do it. And so when it was my turn, I took only a split second. I put my hand right towards the bottom of that tower and flicked a side piece and sent it sailing out from underneath the tower just to see what would happen. And what happened was I got a very interesting reaction from Edna. She just stared at me like she was assessing somebody. And her assessment was something along the lines of, what kind of a person does that? Like, what kind of a person just quickly just does that? Are they trying to knock this tower over? Like, she's just assessing, like, what my strategy is, why I would so quickly and hastily do that. Because the reality is, doing that sort of thing did jeopardize that, especially on my second turn when I quickly flicked out the other side of the tower so that the entire tower is now resting on one load-bearing piece at the very bottom. And I got an even more stern look from her, like, really? This is not how you should play this game. But I like games to go quick, and so making it instantly jeopardized, you know, like I said, it was a fun experience for sure, one that I will remember, and I love that picture playing that game with her. With that, let's go ahead and read from Hebrews chapter 10. Go ahead and stand as I read. I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, in recent weeks, our focus has been on the importance of having a quality spiritual trellis in our lives. And in the very first message of this year, I pointed out that Jesus had customs, Jesus had routines, Jesus had habits that were a part of his life. There were things that Jesus did on a daily, weekly, or seasonal basis throughout his life, and his disciples paid very close attention to the rhythm and pattern that he lived. As his disciples, their ultimate desire was to be like him, and so the natural thing for them to do was to try and imitate the things that Jesus did as best as they could in their own lives. And in the process of following Jesus, Jesus taught them things like teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to read and interpret Scripture in the right way and apply it. The spiritual disciplines of Jesus and of his disciples are disciplines that provide a supportive structure for spiritual growth, in much the same way that a garden trellis for a variety of garden plants provides support, provides structure, provides guidance. Without a garden trellis, a cucumber plant or a tomato plant would easily get diseased by laying on the ground and would easily get damaged by being blown around by the wind or easily get damaged when the weight of the fruit is too heavy and it pulls it to the ground and then gets diseased from the ground and bugs would bother the fruit. In much the same way, our lives benefit when we have a really good spiritual trellis providing support and guidance for our lives. And it's for that reason, the last 2 weeks of messages that we've had, we've looked at the importance of scripture reading and the importance of having a good prayer life for any and all followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 teaches us that scripture is God-breathed and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And it's the person who's familiar with scripture who will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In Luke chapter 11, when Jesus was asked to teach his disciples how to pray, he modeled for them a prayer that was directed to his heavenly Father. The spiritual practice of prayer is a practice that strengthens a person's connection to their loving heavenly Father. And so when it comes to growing spiritually, the habit of prayer nurtures that relationship, and it's vital. This morning, the third spiritual practice that I'm going to focus on is the practice of gathering with and being a part of the body of Christ, the fellowship of believers. The very first disciples of Jesus were not following Jesus in some sort of a one-on-one, isolated, individualistic way, like it was just them and Jesus. In the same way, there's no Christian today who should be having a spiritual walk that is basically them and Jesus, but doesn't incorporate the body of Christ. The first disciples of Jesus were a part of a group, and they were following Jesus together, and those relationships were valuable for them in their journey, relationships that are just as valuable for disciples of Jesus today. Now, there is still a long list of spiritual practices that I'm going to be talking about, and I won't get to all of those practices. On that sheet that's out there on the Welcome Center, I was going through and tallying up the number of spiritual practices that are listed on there as a counter to some of those things that people go through, and it's like 13, 14 individualistic practices, and there's no time between now and Easter to go through all of those things, so I'm going to group some of them together so I can cover as many as possible, but when it comes to the long list of spiritual practices that we can have in our lives, these three are the most important, I believe. The practice of prayer, the practice of scripture, and the practice of gathering together with the fellowship of believers. In many ways, these three specific spiritual practices should be viewed much like the load-bearing pieces at the very bottom of that Jenga tower. Like I said, I knocked out two of them. The whole thing was in jeopardy because it was only on one single piece. Whereas if it had all three pieces at the bottom, that foundation is much more secure. So in the same way, with these three spiritual practices, if you've only got one, if you've only got prayer or you've only got scripture or you only have the fellowship of believers, your tower that you're building with your life isn't going to be secure. These three spiritual practices that are necessary like the load-bearing pieces in a Jenga tower or in a house. Load-bearing walls in a house are walls that need to hold up all of the weight that's above them. Load-bearing walls are directly connected to a firm foundation, and they transfer the weight of that building down to that foundation. The weight of a roof, the weight of the upper levels of a house, the weight of the floor, the weight of the furniture that's on the floor, all of those things need the support of really good load-bearing walls so that the whole thing doesn't collapse. When it comes to the ability of a trellis to be a good trellis and provide quality support for a plant, the most important part of a trellis are the parts that are connected to the foundation. It's important for the bottom portion of a trellis to have pieces giving it a good connection and a good deep foundation in the ground. In fact, a lot of my trellises have little pieces at the end. You have to stick them down in there and it sticks in. It gets a really good foundation. You can take off some of the vertical pieces of a trellis and still have a good trellis. But if you take off a part of the trellis that connects it to the ground, you're jeopardizing its ability to hold up a plant. And the same is true when it comes to reading scripture, praying, and gathering with the fellowship of believers. If these three specific areas of a person's spiritual trellis are non-existent or weak, it's a liability that seriously jeopardizes the stability of the entire structure supporting a person's spiritual growth. And while you may be able to survive to some degree in the absence of some spiritual practices, these are three that you can't go without. You just can't have a stable and firmly grounded spiritual life if you aren't reading scripture, aren't praying, and aren't gathering with the fellowship of believers. Eventually, that poorly supported spiritual life will collapse on one of those windy days. And I think we can all testify that there are windy days that we experience in this life. There are challenges we face. There are difficulties that come along our way for all of us. On those days, you're going to need these three spiritual practices woven into the rhythm of your life as a part of your spiritual trellis. So the passage we just read in Hebrews chapter 10 is one of those passages that always gets me thinking about a very specific garden vegetable, and that is lettuce. And the reason is because "let us" shows up five times in succession in the passage. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us consider how we may spur each other on. Let us not give up meeting together, and let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Now, I don't know what your experience has been with lettuce the vegetable, but for me, it has been an evolution over the years. Growing up, the only time that I would ever eat lettuce is if I was, number one, very, very hungry, and number two, I had lots of salad dressing to pour on it, so that way I'd be more eating the salad dressing than the salad itself. Outside of being hungry and having a large supply of salad dressing, I was not interested in lettuce. I have no idea how many times in my life lettuce and tomatoes both have been the only thing left on a plate when you go to a restaurant, you order like a hamburger, and I forget to tell them, no lettuce, no tomatoes, I don't want it to go to waste, but I send the plate back and it's got that, I didn't want it. What I know now and what I appreciate better now in my later years is that lettuce is good for me whether I like it or not. In the same way that there are people like me with a bad habit of refusing and rejecting lettuce the vegetable, there are also Christian people who have a bad habit of refusing and rejecting the "let us" in Scripture. The invitation that we encounter in Scripture is an invitation for people to be a part of God's family, for people to be a part of the body of Christ, and to do things as a part of the body of Christ. The invitation we encounter in Scripture is an invitation for followers of Jesus Christ to follow Jesus as a part of a group of followers of Jesus doing things together. And yet, there's a growing number of Christians who seem to think that they can have a growing and flourishing personal relationship with Jesus while at the same time having a very disconnected and distant relationship with the body of Christ. They seem to think that gathering with the body of Christ and actively being a part of the body of Christ is an optional thing on that plate that they can politely refuse and it not impact them and their spiritual life. I'm sorry, but that kind of an I don't need it posture towards the body of Christ is one that needs to be soundly rejected for being as unhealthy and biblically ignorant as it truly is. Gathering with the body of Christ is vital and valuable to every member of the body of Christ. The spiritual impact of going without the body of Christ in their lives would be much like the physical impact of going without iron or potassium or calcium in your diet. Eventually, that calcium deficiency or mineral deficiency is going to have an impact. And the same is true for when people don't have enough scripture, prayer, or the body of Christ in their lives. A rhythm of life that's deficient in scripture, prayer, and the body of Christ is not a rhythm that's going to lead to a flourishing spiritual life. Last week, I talked about Jesus being the mediator who restores the relationship with God and being the one who makes it possible for us to come to God in prayer and approach the throne of grace with confidence. In our passage this week, it reemphasizes that point. The very beginning of our scripture reading started with this: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. As the mediator, Jesus made it possible for you and I to eventually and individually draw near to God. But in the process of drawing near to God, we also at the very same time automatically become a part of a larger community. Now, this is what has happened to Lori and I each and every time that we've gone to some sort of a concert or a sporting event, whether that be you go into a U2 concert, Bulls game, White Sox game, whatever. The tickets that we got that allowed us to get into those different venues were not tickets that provided us some sort of a private viewing of the game or the concert. Each and every time we had a ticket giving us access to the United Center or into Guaranteed Rate Field, we gained access to a space where we would inevitably have interactions with other fans and followers of the sports team or band. When it comes to Christians who think that they can have a healthy and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, but not have a relationship with the body of Christ or the church, that is a very false expectation to have. While you can go to a Bulls game or a White Sox game or a Cubs game or whatever and get one of those specialty skybox seatings, I've never been in them, but they have some specialty seating that you can get where you kind of can have your own restricted area where it's only certain people who are allowed to be up there and you don't have to be with all the other fans. While they have that kind of an option at a sporting event, there is no such option when it comes to the body of Christ and a relationship with Jesus. A direct relationship with God through Jesus automatically entails a relationship with other people who are also in relationship with God through Jesus. When you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are automatically a part of the entire body of Christ. And at the very same time that you draw near to God, you draw near to other people. If you came here and your sole purpose was to draw near to God but not draw near to his people, that's just not how it works. A Christian who falsely thinks that they can distance themselves from the body of Christ is also distancing themselves from the things that God has purposefully chosen to do through the body of Christ. And here are just a few things from today's passage that happen in the body of Christ. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. It's in the community of faith where we hear the testimony of brothers and sisters in Christ who speak to God's faithfulness in their lives. And it's those shared testimonies that have the power to reinforce the hopes that we have. For those going through challenging times, hearing testimonies of God's faithfulness through the lips of those who have made it through their own challenging circumstances can help others hold on to hope instead of giving up. And this is one of those advantages that I have from the pastoral side. I have the opportunity to get to know everybody here in a way that it's probably difficult for you to get to know everybody else here. What I can tell you is that there are a variety of testimonies present in this place that can encourage and provide hope for others. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's in the community of faith where Christians have relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ that challenge and motivate them to do things that you probably wouldn't do otherwise. Being in the community of faith makes it more difficult to be lethargic and unloving and failing to grow in the likeness of Christ. Growing in Christ's likeness is a group effort where we each spur each other on toward the goal as we motivate, encourage, and lovingly correct each other. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. The writer of Hebrews knew that there's tremendous value in meeting together and also knew that it's tempting for people to come up with justifications for stopping. If you or I were to have true justifications for not being able to meet at a certain time in a certain place, and I get that. We live in a busy world that has a very different work schedule than we probably prefer it to have, and there are complications that get in the way of being able to meet together at a specific time and specific place. But if that were the case, it would be our imperative to find a way at some other time and some other place to be able to get together. And if you're ever in a situation where there is simply no time and no space ever to gather with the body of Christ, then the problem isn't with meeting. The problem is really with us and our lack of control over our schedule. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. It's in the community of faith where Christians ought to get the regular encouragement they need to live the life they're called to live. Every week, you and I face different things in this world, and there are things in this world that encourage us to live in ways that are contrary to the desires of God. Every week, there are things that we can go through that are damaging and hurtful and discouraging. And so it's important for us to spend time on a weekly basis with people who will remind you and I and encourage you and I to live in a different way. As a cucumber plant grows along a trellis, there are these things called tendrils that kind of reach out and latch onto whatever they can go hold on to. And for those that have gardening, you've seen these things as they reach out and grab on and hold on to those things. By wrapping a tendril onto a portion of a trellis, just like the one there, at multiple points along a trellis, a cucumber plant is able to gain the support that it will need as it grows in size and grows in weight and grows up towards the places where the trellis is taking it. At the very end of the harvest season, usually right around between the beginning of October and the end of October when I'm taking things down, I'm always amazed at the number of little tendrils holding on to these little trellises as I'm pulling the plants off after they've already died. All of those tendrils were able to hold up the cucumber plants up off the ground, and they were able to do that because they had a trellis. A trellis was there. There was something there as a support ready to be utilized, and the plant did it. As a natural part of the Christian life, we need quality Christian relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ that we can depend on, that we can lean on, that we can latch on to help us. Relationships that can hold us up. Relationships that can head us in the right direction, relationships that can help us weather the storms in life when they do inevitably come. When relationships with brothers and sisters in Christ are a part of our spiritual trellis, along with that of prayer and scripture, our spiritual life has a very strong foundation. This morning, we're going to be closing with communion, a meal where we commemorate the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, the group of disciples, shortly betrayed, before he was betrayed, beaten, and crucified. Those disciples that Jesus had been following him for a decent amount of time, maybe 2 or 3 years even. They had many shared experiences as they listened to Jesus teach, they watched Jesus practice what he preached, and they witnessed many miracles along the way. They followed Jesus together, and on a very special night before the Passover feast, they shared this meal together. The Lord's table is not a private table for two, where it's just you and Jesus. The Lord's table is a family table, and so we receive this meal as brothers and sisters in Christ who are all a part of the family of God. The invitation that we have today, which is made possible by the sacrificial death of Jesus, is for all of us to draw near to God and for all of us to also draw near to each other as a part of the family of God. And so if it's your desire today to receive this meal as a part of both drawing near to God and drawing near to each other, I would welcome you to this table. As we distribute the elements, there are going to be 2 cups stacked together with bread in the bottom and juice in the top, and you're going to take out both of those cups together and wait until we've all received them. If you'd prefer not to receive the elements this morning, you can just kind of put your hand up as we go around. And if that's your case this morning where you don't want to receive the communion meal, just know that we do pray for God's blessings upon you, whatever the situation may be, and we do pray that eventually you would be able to receive this meal with all of us as a part of the family of God together. For those who do wish to receive the elements along the front, you can go ahead and make your way at this time.